Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Chulin, Daf Yud Chulin 10. In today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara is discussing a debate amongst the Amoraim about a knife that after the slaughter, the knife was found to have a blemish on it. And if a knife that's used for slaughter has a defect on it, then the whole slaughter will be invalid. So the question in this situation is whether or not we can assume that the defect happened on the knife after the slaughter, in which case the animal will be kosher, or if it happened before the slaughter, in which case the animal would not be considered kosher. So the Gemara says, Hilchasa kavasi de Rav Huna, that we can say that the law is like Rav Huna, who says that a knife that was found to have a blemish on it after the slaughter is disqualified, but that's only in a situation, kishelo shibur ba'etzem, where after the slaughter, the person did not use the slaughterer did not use the knife to break a bone. And so since he didn't use the knife to break a bone, then we can assume that this defect that we found on the knife, this nick that we found on the knife, must have happened before the slaughter on, for example, the hide of the animal, the skin of the animal, and so therefore he slaughtered with a defective knife and it's no good. However, it says the Gemara, V'hilchasei kavasei de Rav Chista, under certain circumstances, the law can also be like Rav Chista, who rules that if we find a nick on the knife, we find the defect on the knife after the slaughter, it's kosher. When would we do that? When would we rule like Rav Chista? Kisha shibur ba'etzem, when he actually did use the knife to break a bone immediately after the slaughter. And then we could say that the defect came from the knife rather than coming from the defect came from breaking the bone, which is more common to cause a knife to be defective than by cutting the skin of the animal. So the Gemara says, from the fact that the Gemara rules that the law is like Rav Chista, in a situation where the knife was used to break a bone after the slaughter, and under those circumstances, we rule like Rav Chista, who says it's kosher. This proves Mikal to Rav Chista afagav the lo shibur ba'etzem, that Rav Chista rules that the knife would be kosher even if after the slaughter the knife was not used to break a bone. Well, if that's the case, but my ifkam, so then how did the knife become defective? So at what point did it become defective? It must be. So the Rav Chista says the reason why Rav Chista would rule it's kosher is because he says it's possible ema be'etzem demafrekes ifkim, that perhaps that immediately while the process of slaughter was taking place, the knife became defective by hitting the neck bone after he cut the pipes of the trachea and the esophagus, and that's why it became defective. So that's what Rav Chista says is why it became defective, which is after the slaughter was kosher. So therefore, we don't disqualify the slaughter even though there's a nick that's found on the knife. And the Gemara tells us an incident, Havi Uvda Vitara for Rav Yosef Atleser Chevasa, that Rav Yosef once disqualified 13 animals because there was a knife that was found to be defective and the knife was not checked in between all the animals. So the Gemara says, well, like whom is Rav Yosef ruling? Is he ruling like Rav Huna, that a knife that's found a defect on it after the slaughter and it wasn't checked beforehand, that is ruling like Rav Huna, and therefore a few become Maisa, even the first one will be disqualified because we have to assume that probability was that, or the possibility that it became nicked on the skin of the animal. The Gemara says, no, he must be ruling like Rav Chista, who says that the knife would not be disqualified because we can assume that it broke on the neck, and therefore levar mika maisa, the first one would be kosher, but all the other ones would be disqualified because we broke it on the neck. Or alternatively, the Gemara gives a different approach: olam k'Rav Huna, that maybe we rule like Rav Huna, because who says that they're always disqualified, and even the first one's going to be like disqualified. Di k'Rav Chista, because if we're ruling like Rav Chista that they're kosher, if that's the case, if we're going to rely upon the neck bone, why would we rely upon the neck bone of the first animal, rely upon the neck bone of the last animal? And so therefore we would have ruled that all of them are kosher. So that the Gemara says, and in this context, Rav Kahana required bidikusa ben kol chada v'chada, Rav Kahana required that the knife be checked between every single animal. So the Gemara says, like whom is Rav Kahana ruling? Is he ruling like Rav Huna, and therefore that the reason why he rules like this is because he's concerned about perhaps a defect that took place via the cutting of the skin of the animal, and the checking is l'mifsal kamai, so that if you found a nick, it would be to disqualify even the first one. The Gemara says no, it's like Rav Chista and also Achshuri Basraisa, to say that if you found a defect on the animal, we could say that the last one was kosher because that the defect happened on the knife, happened on the neck bone of the last animal that was slaughtered. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Ihachi, if it is the case that you need according to Rav Kahana, if you say he follows Rav Chisda, that the reason why we need to check the knife is to say that the next animal should be kosher, Tibai Nami Bidikas Racham, that we should require that every single time before the knife is checked, before a slaughter takes place, before every single time, the knife needs to be shown to a scholar, not just before the first animal. But why does Rav Kahana not require this? Why does he not require that between each animal it needs to be shown to a scholar? So the Gemara says, well, one answer is eight echanemam bisurim. No, because we believe the slaughter, since it's just a question of permitted or prohibited, we believe the slaughterer in this case. Or if that's the case, the Gemara says, ihachim eikar namilo. Then, well, if that's the case, Rav Kahana should never require it to be shown to his Torah scholar. But why do we say that that he does require before even the first slaughter it needs to be shown to a chacham to inspect? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo amru lahar sakan chacham el nekvodo shel chacham. That the only reason why we require in general, even before the first slaughter, showing to the Torah scholar, is not because by the strict letter of the law require it, but rather because it's just to give honor to the Torah scholar, to show him the knife. And so therefore, since it was shown once, it was sufficient. The Aguda in the 14th century says today the Torah scholars waive that honor. But we say that that is allowed. A Torah scholar can waive their honor when it comes to giving him honor, but when it comes to disparaging him, that a Torah scholar is not allowed to waive his honor. He's not allowed to be disparaged, because that's not just a disparagement of him, but a disparagement of all Torah scholars.